And on three occasions, pacifist, conscientious objectors have been Congressional Medal of Honor winners. You have an option as you enter the service to serve, but to refuse to carry a weapon or do harm to an enemy. In most cases, those service people end up in the medical corps, and in three instances, those duties were performed with such outstanding bravery and distinction that they received the highest medal given in the U.S. military. Well, heroic pacifists aside, most of us, I suspect, are loosely okay with the modern translation. Most of us can probably come to terms with the idea that a Christian could be in a circumstance where killing is a justifiable option. But since most of us haven't or won't be in those circumstances, we probably figure we're okay. We've kept the commandment. Well, then along comes Jesus, and as he often does, he complicates things for us. This is the first commandment that Jesus speaks on in his preaching. And it's the first commandment on which we have direct interpretation from Christ. And rather than let anyone off the hook, Jesus sets the hook on everyone. He says, "You heard it said to the people long ago." Not even calling it a commandment. And then he continues, "I tell you, anyone who is angry with a brother or sister is subject to judgment." Anyone who says raka, which is an Aramaic word, one of a handful of Aramaic words left in the New Testament, and it means stupid or empty-headed or idiot. Anyone who says this to someone is to go before the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin is a word that means literally sitting together. It's a council of men, and they are a religious court. In other words, anyone who speaks this way to another is liable for judgment. And then Jesus says, anyone who says to a brother or sister, "You fool," is in danger of the fires of hell. Now, as a person who has a literal brother and has said far worse to him than that, I get a little nervous about these verses. Jesus ratchets up the commandment and makes it about far more than killing. About anger, about offending another, about violence of all types, about relationships. Jesus says, if you're angry, if there's something between you and a brother or sister, leave your gift on the altar and go seek reconciliation. I think I've told you this before in different contexts, but what we call the passing of the peace, which we sometimes do here, but mostly we just greet one another. Historically, the passing of the peace of Christ be with you and also with you, was done immediately before communion. And the reason was that if there was somebody sitting in church with whom you'd had a falling out, this was your moment. This was your chance before you came to the table of Christ to seek them out and to make amends, to apologize, to forgive, to reconcile, so that as one, you could go to the Lord's Supper together. By expanding the circle of do not kill to include anger and insult, Jesus makes it immeasurably harder and immeasurably more personal. Because even those of us who have never been in a situation where we have been forced to take a stand or make a decision on taking a life know what it is to be angry and to lash out at another person. And we live in a society and in a world that excels at anger and at violence. In 2013, researchers in China conducted a study of social media. They looked at 70 million tweets and posts in the internet, in specifically a Chinese version of Twitter, and they sorted them, 70 million of them, into anger, joy, sadness, and disgust. And then they traced the follow-up of those posts. And their findings were very clear. The emotion that most often drives social media is rage. angry tweets were pervasive enough to influence follower after follower after follower, three generations deep of anger, creating a huge expanding pyramid. And if you've been online at all, if you spend any time online, you might think this feels about right. If you spend any time online or on social media, I guarantee that it is inevitable you will run into someone angry about something. Complaining, insulting, raging. I don't think you can possibly avoid it. Perhaps why research also suggests that it's getting worse. That people on the whole are getting angrier. And that societies are becoming more violent. There is so much anger around us and among us and in us. And it all blurs the edges of do not kill. Because our anger, even deserved, even justified, leads us very quickly to depersonalize our neighbor as an enemy. An empty-headed fool who deserved to be lashed out at and put in their place. Who justifies our rage by being an idiot, so it's okay to say it or think it or post it. A political candidate, an athlete, an entertainer, a family member, a neighbor, anyone who makes us angry. But I tell you, says Jesus, anyone who is angry with a brother or sister is subject to judgment. He can't really mean that, can he? Equating angry insults with murder, that hardly seems fair. But he definitely did it. And it sounds like he means it. Maybe Jesus' strong words warn us what anger does to relationships. What it does to the spirits of those who carry it and those who receive it. Did you know there's an increasing body of research that even suggests anger is a danger to our health? Studies show that unresolved or repeated anger affects our heart, our blood pressure, our brain, and poses serious risk. What an irony if do not kill, translated by Jesus, do not be angry, actually shortens our life. One study showed that after a five-minute episode of anger, a person's immune system could be suppressed for up to 6 hours. Maybe we are literally killing ourselves by being angry. Maybe Jesus wants us to understand that killing is bigger than murder. There are things that kill the spirit as well, that anger and hatred are close cousins, and they travel together. Or as one pastor said, being angry often is like feeding poison to your soul. And it's not just us. Our harsh words, our violent actions harm the lives of others, no matter how justified we think it might be, no matter how much we might think they deserve it. Anger does harm to the person who uses it and the person who receives it. Maybe Jesus instead dreams of his followers being a peaceable people who seek better ways than violence and anger, who guard their actions and words not to harm others. On this commandment, John Calvin wrote, "The purpose of the commandment is this: the Lord has bound humans together by a certain unity. Hence, each ought to concern himself or herself with the well-being of all. If you cannot be angry with another, you cannot hate them. If there is anything that makes for peace, see to it. If there is anything harmful, avoid it." It's interesting. In history, we have given so much attention to this commandment and what it means, whether Christians are free or even compelled to guard their homes, their families, their countries. And yet often we have totally ignored Jesus' words about guarding our hearts and our minds and our mouths from anger and insult and violence of the kind that leaves scars that aren't visible. There is so much that brings death in our world. Judgment, greed, inequity, oppression, prejudice. Each is a type of violence in its own way, and each is capable of doing harm and causing death. And all of them are out of step for persons who are trying to follow Christ. About 15 years ago, I got a letter from the General Assembly. The letter told me that Presbyterians were boycotting Taco Bell. I wondered why the Presbyterians cared about Taco Bell. Read the letter. The letter explained to me that Taco Bell bought tomatoes from farms in Florida that employed the Immokalee workers, part of a Seminole tribe of Native Americans. This was difficult labor, and it was done at basically a slave wage, up to 60 hours a week of very physical work for about $7,500 a year, a figure which hadn't changed in over a quarter of a century. And Presbyterians wanted to hold Taco Bell and the parent company, Yum Foods, accountable. Well, we do this from time to time. We write letters. The Presbyterian Church has written letters to presidents, to heads of states, to heads of corporations. And usually when we do that, I have to admit, I roll my eyes. And I think to myself, who cares what the Presbyterians think? Or in this case, who cares what the Presbyterians eat? And I don't like tomatoes. So I figured I was off the hook and it didn't really matter. I had the sense this was us trying to stick our noses into something and maybe get some press. And I didn't think Yum Foods cared very much about a few thousand people who, let's be honest, probably don't eat at Taco Bell very often in the first place. And that's how I felt. And that's how I continue to feel. So I had a conversation with a fellow pastor. And he mentioned that he wasn't eating at Taco Bell. And I admired him and I respected him. But I questioned him. And I said, "You seriously think that matters?" And he said this, "I don't know. Maybe not. But I figure if my tomatoes came from someone else's hardship, and my meal came from someone being taken advantage of, and my dollars are going to the people taking advantage of them, I don't need it, and I don't want any part of it." Now, we could have lots of discussions about boycotts and social action and whether it works or whether it doesn't. But here's what I left thinking. While I was asking the question, who cares what I eat? My Christian brother was asking, do I care about those people who are vulnerable and poor? For those of us who seek to follow Christ, do not kill is not just a commandment. It's a call to preserve and to bless life. It's a call to a way of living that creates and enhances life for everyone, not just for some. A way of living that refuses to join the anger and violence of our culture, that refuses to participate in systems and practices that harm the lives of others. It's far more than do not take a life. It's also do not devalue a life. Do not detract from a life. Do not waste or minimize or hurt life. It is far bigger than what we don't do. It is almost everything that we do. It was said to the people long ago, do not kill. But I tell you, says Jesus, it is way bigger than that. Amen.